All right, let's kick it up for the National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Glad you're aboard. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and in Jason Bukala, who has done a nice job on his home studio.
Yeah.
Right? Like really, really cool. But, you know, we ditched that to bring you in live and in color right in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
You know, it's sorry for your luck, fellas.
Emo mob today, all blacked out, fellas. Look at us.
So, I take it like your schedule is going to kind of calm down. I know you were just out west, and before that, of course, World Juniors. So, like, what's it like right now?
Yeah, it's been a good run. It's a busy time of year, guys. You go to World Juniors. Obviously, there's some draft eligibles there this year, which was nice because that's a little bit of an anomaly. It's a U20 tournament for the most part, but good to see how some of the top prospects around the world are tracking. And then you get out of there after 8 or 9 days, you know, as soon as Canada gets eliminated, we've talked about it. It's like the air kind of goes out of the building a little bit. Mm-hmm. But having said that, then the top prospects for the OHL last week, then I just came back from out west. The weather was fantastic out west. The Canucks tried to ruin the weather as much as possible when I was out there, but failed to do so.
Well, before we get to that, maybe we'll just do a little bit of the prospect talk. So you're looking at some of these guys here. What are the updates? Who are we looking at for the upcoming draft? Who do you like?
Well, the one thing that everybody should be aware of, in my mind anyways, is that there's not going to be a change at the top. Like Matthew Schaefer suffered that injury at the World Juniors, a broken collarbone. He's had it surgically repaired. He's not going to be back healthy till April. Mm-hmm. Erie would have to be in second round of playoffs, and I don't think that he's a Team Canada guy coming off an injury like that. Like, I wouldn't personally risk that going to the draft if I were advising him. So he's the first guy, though. Like, he's number one overall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's separated himself. Top pairing NHL upside, all situations, 28 minutes a night kind of guy. Like, it's super elite. Super elite. I don't want to say he's Cale Makar or anything like that, but let me tell you, he impacts the game like Cale Makar did when he was playing in the AJ back then. So,
wow.
And then it goes from there.
Wouldn't teams right now be going, we could really use one of those franchise type of guys and like,
let's pull the plug.
What are we doing here? What are we chasing here? Let's be more like Florida, who in November declared themselves, right, not a non-playoff team and sellers.
Who's that, San Jose?
No, I'm sorry, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. They're not fooling anybody. I don't care what the standing says. I'd love to add this guy.
Yeah. No, that's curious. And then if you need the luck of the lottery, too. Some of these teams, you know, they have no luck at the lottery. But if you're looking at those teams, well, let me put this back on you guys for a sec. As I start doing the tour, you know, you come out of last year's draft and you have your list. And, you know, I have some biases, but I had Ivan Demidov number two, okay? Yeah. And I sit there and I watch the Chicago Blackhawks this year. And I know how Demidov is tracking in Russia, and he's going to come over here. And Levchinov is a fine player. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But Demidov falls all the way to 5. Caden Lindstrom, CBJ takes him at 4. He's got the back problem. I hope he comes back. It's, you know, the whole 9 years. But I'm looking at Chicago specifically, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, you might be in the wheelhouse for one overall this year. You could have went Demidov and then Schaefer. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. There's a huge difference between Levchinov, who they did draft, and he's playing in Rockford right now, and no disrespect to, like, the Hagens kid.
Right.
So when you start pairing out your decisions as you try and build up an organization, it can come back to bite in a hurry.
Try to pick up your phone without seeing a Demidov highlight from the KHL.
It's like I've seen 20 KHL highlights this year, and he's been 18 of them.
He's on track for 20-plus, you know, in the KHL. That doesn't happen for those youngsters.
He's 19 years old.
He's playing at SKA, which is, you got to earn it there. You got to earn it there.
All right, we got to get to, for all our fans at Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, your, like, close and personal, up close personal thoughts on what's going on there on the ice and, of course, off the ice.
Yeah. So as much as you like to break down teams on video or watch, you know, when we're in studio, we're doing whatever we're doing, it's really important to get the games. You have to get the games, and you take it all in. So I get there real early last, the Kings game. I did that one in person. I was in Everett on the Saturday, so I broke down the other game after. But my point is I get there early and I'm watching this Vancouver Canucks team warm up. It was atrocious. It was so bad. You know, I'm watching the Kings. I turned to Ian McIntyre, our great writer out there for Sportsnet, and I said, Ian, this could be nothing or it could be something, but take a look at the body language of this group and then look at that group. Okay, they're joking around with each other. They're having fun, you know, the whole nine yards. So anyways, 10 minutes in, it's 3 Cobb for L.A. and, you know, the whole nine yards. Their preparation, guys, as pros, and I'm just talking about as pros, making big tickets. Let me put it to you this way. If you don't like, if you're a brain surgeon and you don't like the guy who runs the hospital, the director of the hospital, are you going to mail it in the next day on your next patient?
Certainly
it's certainly not, right? So if you're making 8 sheets or whatever you're making and you don't like a guy across the room, my give a you know what meter is 0 because my family of 4 is paying $1,000 for you to come in. This team doesn't prepare properly, doesn't compete enough consistently, and it's, you know, it's leaked out of the room. We all know what's going on there. Some of them don't like each other. But do people who walk the street and pay big money to watch these professional athletes play even care about that? I know I don't. My expectation is to be a pro.
So, okay, I'm sorry, but, like, are we pointing the first finger at the players and then the coach and then the general manager and then the president?
I'm not even going near Rick Tocchet. I'm not even going near Rick Tocchet.
Then where are you going?
Great. So I think that that in my experience anyways, because we've had guys over the years in my experience, they didn't necessarily all get along. Like when I was in Nashville back in the day and we loaded up, we had like Paul Kariya, Jason Arnott. We had like a bunch of, it was a little bit of a mix, okay? It was, you know, Kimmo Tiimonen was our captain and he kept it together. He was awesome. But my point here is that if you can't infiltrate it, then I think that professional athletes are creative enough to let it escape the room because they can't control it anymore. You know what I mean? There's a leak when you can't control it. And that goes up the food chain to management and the president's chair for me, where it's gotten to that point where you feel like we aren't, I'm not saying they're not listening to them, but they're trying to run a franchise and they're probably saying to them, figure it out, until the point is they can't figure it out. And now it leaks out and you got this catastrophe on your hands.
It's funny because you and I are working Hockey Central tonight and talking about Canucks Oilers. And Marzi, our producer's going, what do you want to talk about tonight? You know, with Vancouver, what do you want to talk about? How can you talk about anything else right now other than they're going to trade JT Miller, their highest paid guy's upset, got a new captain, the coach is upset, the goalie's not in the net. Like, it's chaos. How do you talk about anything else? So, in my opinion, something needs to happen quickly. You wrote, I believe, about, or at least talk about, you know, potential trade, what they should do, how to go about it. How do they approach this now with Miller?
Well, I said last week when I was in Vancouver, I was hoping by Monday something would happen. Something almost happened on Saturday, apparently. There's more than the New York Rangers that are interested in this player. And here's the thing with JT Miller. When he's on, this is a hell of a player.
Sure.
Plays fast. He gets after it along the wall. You know what he could do. I don't have to tell you, but the fact of the matter is, though, it's like a couple of years, and then something goes wrong for some reason. This will be his third trade. Okay, think about
fourth
it.
Fourth team.
Yeah, fourth team. You know, and if he goes back to the Rangers who originally drafted him in 2011, that was under, a different management watch than Chris Drury. But my point is that what's going to happen here, this has to happen, first of all. And it's a depressed value. You're not going to get, on paper, you're going to lose the trade. Like, if I'm another team in the league, the league isn't about giving you a lifeline when you're struggling. They're not going to overpay for the assets. So you're going to get what you get. But having said that, I use Carolina as the example because I think Carolina would like an upgrade. I think Rod Brindamore can coach this guy up to be,
sure.
You know, because Tocchet did, you know, for until now. This isn't a Rick Tocchet problem. So I think Brindamore can do that. And I included a goalie in my equation just because Carolina, you can't count on Freddie. And they got, you know, so I sent Seelovs back in the deal because he's not playing in Vancouver. So, you know, why not? But Nikash coming back the other way from Carolina, they kind of had a – he's on a 2-year at 6.5 or something like that.
Yeah. He's a bargain next year.
Yeah, until he's not after that. But you know, here's the thing about Marty Nikash. I'll tell you, going way back to his draft cycle, guys, and even his underage, he would hit it out of the park from, like, you know, in Europe they start in August. So from August until after the first international break, so called December,
yep.
And boom, shot out of a cannon, lots, over a point a game. Second half of the season, it would kind of go like this. It would like come to a screeching halt. And back then, when you're watching a guy develop, you're thinking strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was tall, but he was really, really thin. But now look at him. Like, he was second in the league in scoring at the beginning of December.
Oh, yeah.
Second or third. He's in the top 5 anyways. and he's been pretty pedestrian since then. So there's some risk reward to it, is what I'm saying, Kipper. But if the cap's going to go to, like I read somewhere that it could go to as high as 105 in a couple of years.
It could go to 97, 98 next year.
Next year.
They negotiate.
Alan Walsh, I guess, in his podcast today or yesterday, said that it'll be 97 next year. That'll be the number. And he said by 27 or 28, it'll be 105.
Wow. So that changes the landscape of everything. And that has an effect. If there's inside information on that, intel, that's going to have an effect on this trade deadline. Obviously, free agency come July. Mm. Trades in general at any time. But I'll get back to the Vancouver here thing because I'm kind of spitballing, getting off. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup this year. Okay, this Miller thing's got to get resolved itself. And then the other thing's Besser. Besser's the other elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can tell you, I like Brock Besser between the hash marks. Okay, but I don't know that Tim Kerr could play it today, Kipper. You know what I mean? Like he could score all those goals from certain areas of the ice, and his tracking up and down. If you're not insulating him properly, his B game is just okay. Yep. Okay. It's nothing matter with the player. He does what he does, but he's a UFA, so that's got to go out the door as well, you know, because you're not going to extend that. You're going to manage the asset. This group's up and down like a teeter totter. They don't give management enough belief to, you know, make it better necessarily for this year, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be lots of change there, and they're going to have a lot of money. And that brings it back to the coach. Don't fire the coach. Mm-hmm. Like Green was there. Boudreau was a stopgap. Would anybody disagree that Rick Tocchet created a culture there? No. They played a certain way.
Oh, listen, he may not, they won't fire him, but he could certainly say, I'm out of here.
He's that option for this year, whatever's going on there. It's a team option. Am I right or wrong?
I feel like it's his option. Is it not?
I think he's got an out after this year.
I'll put it this way. We've all signed contracts before. When there's an option on the table, if I'm not happy and you know it and it's still your option, you're probably not extending.
Yeah, no, we're not picking up the option.
So we've discussed about JT Miller being maybe a devalued asset. So what can Vancouver Canucks truly expect here, knowing if management feels like we're not going to win now anyways? What is it? Is it a blue chip prospect with a first rounder and a third component? Well, what can they expect?
The Nikash one would be the best case scenario in my estimation. The ones that I've heard about out of the Rangers, like Hedel and Ryan Lindgren is a heck of a player. I don't know what's going on there, but he's a heck of a player. If they could ever I can envision.
I think they do that deal. The Rangers would do that tomorrow.
So I agree with you. And then I heard when I was out there that it came down to protection on the first round pick, like where the slot was going to, probably lottery protection or top 10 protection or whatever the case may be. So that right there is where I say to myself as a manager, if let's say the pick's 17, would I take 17? I look at I'm just coming out of my amateur draft meetings. I'm looking at our list and I'm saying, okay, how much of a difference is there between 10 and 20 or 25. Let's just, get crazy. So you got a 15-player gap. This is how it works. And then I turn to Chris Drury or Patrick Albee, and I say, there's not a lot of difference. We're splitting hairs between player 10 or 11 and player 25. Mm. So then I go back to New York Rangers. I say, I'll take that deal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, you can lottery protect it. It's fine by me because I believe that where you're going to fit, my list makes sense anyways, and I'll do it. Where I'm hearing that it broke down was the opposite, that they got a little greedy, Vancouver, on the lottery protection side of it. And I come back to the beginning of my conversation here. JT Miller is a depressed asset. If it was playing at his very best, it wouldn't be lottery protected. Yeah. When he's playing the way he is right now and there's noise, we're not giving up a top 10 pick for it. We'll do all the rest of this, but you're going to have to eat something here.
The other thing that stands out to me is looking at this Canucks situation. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong this season.
Yep.
You know, you've had the Miller situation. Pedersen's not been as good, and Demko's been hurt. Hronek's been out. Hughes at one point. So they've had struggles there. They're going through a really tough schedule. I think you're going to talk about that tonight a little bit, right?
Brutal stretch.
A nine-game stretch of just, murderer's row teams. So my point is, there's a chance that they're one point out of playoffs. There's a chance to turn this thing around for them, is there not? If they move on from Miller, Demko's in net and solidified, they get someone back for Miller who's pretty good, the schedule calms down, still a pretty good team here, no?
100%. I believe, actually, that even if they come out of it, if they make the deal, and I believe they will, if they make the deal, that less will be more, believe it or not. Because I think the mood, like, I look at it like this. When you're in a room with teammates and you're not as happy to go to work every day, you're probably 10 or 15% less of what you really can provide as an individual. It's human nature, right? And when you're not happy, I'm not going to perform at the top of my game. So if you can move out noise and create, get the culture back again, if you can get 10 or 15 points or percentage points of better mood, better action, now, you know, you tow it again. You go in the right direction. So I think that that's one thing that we never talk about that enough. We always talk about assets and players and the best player, whatever else. But there are times that you have to rescue your room. Like, you absolutely do, to get the best out of the macro instead of just looking at the micro all the time.
Absolutely.
We're joined in studio with Jason Bukala, who does a terrific job with Sportsnet, also Pro Hockey Group, and former NHL scout. So not lost in this equation should be Pettersson.
Yeah.
And how disappointed they are with this guy.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. He didn't piss a drop in that warm-up that night. it was disgusting. I was so upset.
Yeah.
I was ready to pull on Mike Keenan. Did you guys ever hear the Mike Keenan story in the KHL? He's coaching Coonlin Red Star, and he's up in the top watching them warm up, and he gets so upset with their warm-up, he grabs from the press row some, like, water bottles or whatever, and he runs down the stairs, and he starts chucking water bottles at his own team to get them to warm, wake up and warm. Not Mike. That's how I felt looking at Pettersson warm up the other night. And then, you know, the thing with Swedes, anybody from Finland, like, even with Barkov in Florida, we have him there.
Buddy, Pasternak's warm up is, I believe, non-existent too.
Pasternak's actually could be worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, like, when you're last week, they needed that game against LA. That's a 4-point game.
Yeah,
like, prove to me you're ready to play, okay?
Right. 100%.
Anyways, he has not been very good. It's a calendar year now, guys. It's a calendar year. You know, was it a situation where he felt like he had to sign this deal? Does he really want to be there? I don't know. I'm not a, you know, you need a coach and about 2 weeks of therapy to try and figure it out. You really do. You really do. Like, Nylander here is laissez-faire. But you know what you get. Like, he's that explosive guy. Pettersson can be that guy, but I don't know that he's a guy that wants to go to a movie on the road with the guys. You know what? Yeah. He just doesn't. There's something missing.
I can't think of a less Rick Tocchet player than Pettersson right now.
Yeah.
And that's an issue.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
What do you think of the, you know, the story that, like, he asked the Canucks he wants to stay? Like, he's saying that I want to stay here. Like, is there any part of that could be the team knows they're going to keep him, that it's like almost like PR. Like, let's clean, just so everyone knows, this is the guy we're going to keep.
Just signed.
The guy who wants to be here.
He
just
signed. So where's the issue, right? You don't sign on the dotted line if there's any issues that you weren't really happy. Mm-hmm. So,
so too much noise.
Too much noise on that
one. If you're going to make 11-5, whatever it is, 11-2-5, 11-5, whatever it is, You're gonna cash those kind of checks, figure it out.
So Colorado, let's just stay in the Western Conference for a little bit. Colorado, I don't know, for whatever reason, man, they just cannot get on a roll at home. But we believe that they're solidified, you know, in a playoff spot here, which really just, I don't know, in our opinion, feel like it's Vancouver and Calgary here, right? So where are you on Calgary and status quo and just let this group ride it out?
Can I just say something on Colorado real quick?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated to see where the Rantanen next contract goes.
Yeah.
What do you want to hear? Like where do
13,
you think it's...
I think it's going to...
Like, well, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it's 13 and a half or something. Like, this guy is... People here, we don't watch him enough. Mm-hmm. This guy is a monster who scores goals. Anyways.
Like, and where is Colorado not to, like, realize this? And where do they think that they're going to stick to their 11-5 offer right now?
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
How dependent on McKinnon is Rantanen?
Well, that's a good question.
Like,
because I've seen this. Oh, let me put it this way. It's not like Huberto Barkov. It's not like that with him. Okay? Because Rantanen's such a big rig. He goes and gets it. He creates his own space. He rips the pill from all over the place. So he's going to be successful wherever he goes.
Now he's awesome, and I don't mean to take away from him, but he's got 7 empty netters this year. You know, that's 7 of 25 is a pretty big number.
And yeah, you know what? You know what else I'll tell you about empty netters? If the coach didn't trust you, if the coach didn't trust you to be on the ice to protect the lead,
for sure,
you're not getting an empty netter. So,
yeah.
But as far as Calgary goes, my thing with the Calgary Flames is do nothing. Believe it or not, the group has earned the right to add to the roster. They have, okay. But I'm more in the of the opinion to continue to build up scar tissue there. Yeah. Okay, this is a good group that's clearly are pulling in the same direction together. I don't want to upset the apple cart and bring somebody in. You got some guy who's been blocking shots with his face for 2 months to try and get us close. Now he's playing 8 minutes instead of 14 minutes. You know how that goes.
Like, yeah.
So I say keep throwing it the same way. They got $17 million in cap space, I believe. Their cupboards are loaded with draft capital. Now they're going to have to relinquish their first rounder to Montreal this year in the Monahan deal, maybe. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Doesn't matter. But they got two other firsts as well. Mm-hmm. So they're good. They're set. And their goaltender, future number one, is, you know, and I'm tired of hearing about the size thing, too, about Dustin.
Like he stops the puck all the time.
All I know is big men get hurt in the NHL.
It happens.
That's... he may be the perfect size.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about you saying that? It just occurs to me. When was the last 6 foot or 6 foot one guy, goaltender, that we heard about having bad hips?
Yeah, I don't know.
You see, like Shesterkin
plays a lot of hockey.
Games. Saros is wiry. Like, but when we hear about it, don't we all hear about the 6'5", 6'6"?
Yes.
Like, we can go back forever. But
it's like these Newfoundland dogs. It's like the bigger you get, the quicker your hips break down.
The harder they fall. Like, I'm telling you, there's going to be something towards that.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Valley Cat, if you're listening, pal, we're checking in on this next week.
We want figures on...
size to injury.
But I'm sticking it out with that roster. Like, I'm not moving Anderson. He's got another year left on the deal. I think he's part of the solution going forward, not part of anything else. Weegar's been really good. Huberto's much better this year. They just... The mood around that group.
How about Kadri, who's at that age right now where he's not going to be, you know... He's not going to be around, is he, you think, with the new building and that core group?
I don't know. I don't think his fitness is you know, an issue. I guess, listen, you get to that age, anything, you know, from 1 year to the next, anything can start to happen, right?
But or you could get a boatload for them right now, right? That's the play.
They're trying to poach him for the Leafs.
I'm just saying.
Well, that would be a hell of a fit. Like right? You know, to bring that back over here. Like, here we are talking JT Miller going back to New York after all those years. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kadri for the Leafs. And his number, the thing is, and it's so enticing, isn't it? You got Tree here. You got the Calgary Flames, whatever. And they got $17 million, and I guarantee he hasn't retained more than one slot. Like, they haven't been retaining any money in any of their trades. So he's got slots to do that, too. So... but what do you give? Like, are we going to get into that conversation? If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, what are you giving for now? You said a boatload. What are you giving?
I mean, I got to give up Easton Cowan
to
start.
Sammy.
I don't know. After that, like,
with Riccio and, or sorry, with George Russell.
It's one of your blue chip prospects.
Yeah.
And that's it. Roll the dice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And build around it.
I see the strategy.
Yeah.
I see the strategy. It does not make sense. I'm just saying that, you know, this is why we would meet for more than half an hour at our pro meetings, because I would say and you would say and then
how long do those go on? Because I could see you guys sitting there. You got to think about every conceivable scenario.
A week? 10 days?
Oh, like, what if this happens? And then
I can tell you right now, my meetings would last 4 or 5 days, but we had 10 Zoom calls before we got there just to eliminate some of the noise. Because
here's what we're going to talk about. You're like narrowing the agenda.
Trying to narrow it down. I want some of the guys who are going to be really, I want everybody to have an opinion, but I also don't want to waste my time. Like, you know, I don't want something come out of the blue on day three of meetings to reset. Like, you got to be organized when you get there.
Yeah.
But this kind of conversation is going on. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
I saw Connie at the World Juniors with Dave Notis at the hotel having something to eat. And they're ecstatic about their group, you know.
They really work hard, man.
They like their team.
We saw Columbus beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, earn another 2 points. They are in a wild card position. Ottawa is still there. Montreal's in. They're out. Boston, like, where do you see this in terms of maybe we'll start with Ottawa. I think it was reported, Elliot maybe mentioned on his Twitter there that Josh Norris will be out for the next two or three games.
What happened? Like, he fell on his face or something? Like, just
I just learned that right now.
Yep.
Yeah, he slipped and fell forward. Anyways, that guy can't buy a break.
No, that's tough.
Hey, where am I on Ottawa? First of all, it's good news that we're sitting here almost in February and we're having this conversation.
They're playing meaningful games this year, and their fans tell me that's all we wanted. So,
well, really?
Well,
I hope they want
I think
more.
The bar's changed.
But. Yeah, okay. I think it should, yeah.
Emmauer needs some playoff gates.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a couple of home revenues.
Zach Hyman just helped him out a little bit there with the purchase of the Brantford Bulldogs.
He
gave him a few. They'll pay. I'll keep the lights on for a while. But anyways, the whole thing there is that it's predicated on the goaltending. You know, you're going to still ride this out, but Allmark's got to get back.
And they just placed him on long-term?
But paper transaction.
He's on the trip.
He's eligible
to
come
back.
He's on
the trip. Okay. Yeah, they said he might. I read something today that he might come back tonight. He's not.
Perron's in tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's why they did it, to make room to get Perron back.
Okay,
yeah.
So, and that's a good, that's nice. But yeah, listen, they're hanging around. I don't know if it's, you know, they need, see, that's totally different than Calgary, right? They, if they can add to get in, they, their need to get in is different than the Calgary Flames right now.
Totally.
So I would be looking at doing whatever it takes to make that happen. But if my goaltender is not going to be my guy, like if this is going to continue to be a thing and I don't have a crystal ball, that's a problem.
I also think Ottawa's ceiling is higher than Calgary's just based on Brady Tkachuk and Stützle and like elite talent that I don't know that Calgary has up front.
Oh, I agree with that.
At this point.
Oh, yeah.
The Tkachuk brothers aren't, they're kind of cold right now, both of them.
7 or 8 straight now for Brady without a point.
And he's waving off penalties.
Yeah, I love that.
Is Florida at times when you watch them just a team that has played a lot of hockey the last 3 years?
They don't look the same to me. They don't look the same to me.
Yeah. You don't think it's just biding their time to get to playoffs?
But take a look at it. So if you have a minute to pull up their stats page, take a look at the minuses on that team, okay? It's one thing to not be playing up to the best of your ability. I think Verhaeghe is like minus 21, fellas.
Okay? On a very good team.
On a very good team. So, like, they're getting by and whatever, but the detail of the roster overall, there's a lot of...
Verhaeghe's minus 18.
Okay, he's come up a bit last week. You know why? Because he went to Anaheim. They had the Western trip.
Minus 13.
Because he went to San Jose and Anaheim and everything else. Yeah.
Louise. That is bleak, yeah.
Yeah, like when you go through it. So, and Bob's just been, he's been okay. Listen, do I want to play him in the first round of playoffs? No, hell no.
Forsling's plus 21. How can you have such a discrepancy between one player to another on a team that's still very competitive?
No one else
is double digits plus. That's crazy.
People argue about that plus minus stat. So even if I saw that in half, say, okay, well, half of it's kind of an anomaly.
Yeah.
He's still plus 20 in the other direction.
Yeah, no. Well, that's the thing, is that plus minus is not an exact science. We shouldn't have empty netters in there or whatever. But
no.
I always think it's if you're the best or the worst, it doesn't mean nothing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's something to it. So just call it goals differential, and the nerds will like it more.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah, thank you.
Players want it out, eh?
Plus minus?
Oh, yeah.
Tough beans.
No.
It's too easy to calculate.
Well, then the goals differential will come to life if that's happening.
Yeah,
And you know why they want it out too? Because when they go to ARB, it comes up in ARB.
Hey, listen, there are still bonuses out there that, like, if you do this and this and you're plus, you get money.
Buddy, Ryan Graves' grandkids are going to be eating off his wealth from a year he was plus 40 in Pittsburgh. He signed that Colorado deal. He was the plus-minus leader.
And I think it's only entry-level contracts that I think are left with a plus-minus bonus. But
being the ace for goals.
Still.
Do we have time for another question here?
Do we do.
I don't want to leave. We got nowhere to go.
Yeah, you're right. Just hang out. Montreal Canadiens, December 3rd, Patrick Laine returned to the lineup December 19th, I believe. Alexandre Carrier, that's just terrible French accent, was added to the Montreal lineup. And since then, they're the best team in the NHL, literally.
Yeah,
first 13,
place. 3-1 or something like that?
How much of this is smoke and mirrors, and how much is this is like Montreal's founded here? This is an actual team to be reckoned with.
They absolutely flipped a switch. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like if you didn't break down a 20-game segment here and a 20-game segment there, whatever it is now, you'd be shocked. It's unbelievable. But So they settled on the goaltender. Okay, that was a big one. Yeah. But the Carrier. He's a heck of a player.
Yeah.
This kid is a dog on a bone. He's only like 5'11". He's built like a fire hydrant, but he gets after it, right?
I'm sorry, Nashville couldn't use him?
Or Kiefer Sherwood? Or are we going to have a Nashville segment here?
Yeah, like, good point. I forgot about Sherwood. Yeah.
Don't poke the bear because you know me. I start blowing at the mouth over here. I got a lot of thoughts.
Dante Favreau was on waivers, and he's top pair in Columbus.
Oh, buddy. Anyways.
Barry Trotz might not be a GM. He might be a coach.
Yeah. The Preds don't have a first-round pick dating back to 2015 on their roster. They've traded them or waived them and stuff like that. For whatever reasons.
Yeah.
It might still work. I don't know. But anyways, with the Montreal Canadiens, the buy-in's been phenomenal. It really has been. Everything's switched. So, again, I'm not a stat nerd, but, you know, you start to break down some of the high-danger stuff. Look at Dobish. Dobish is 5-0, okay? Mm. Big rig comes out of Ohio State. Love this kid at Iowa State. It's always fun as a scout to look back 5 years ago and see what you were writing about him and see if it's still kind of...
Yeah.
So, and trust me, you're wrong way more than you're right. But when you do get one right, it's kind of fun.
Yep.
And he's bang on. Like, this kid, he could be a one going forward there. This is a good... He could be like what Stolarz is here for the Leafs when he's healthy. That kind of, you know, situation. He's really good. But the thing about it, when I was looking at his stats... they're only averaging like 23, 24 shots against over those five games, the Montreal Canadiens, which at the beginning of the year, guys, it was fire wagon seven. You know, they were giving up a lot, right? So there's a buy-in there. Good for them. And there's a culture there, too. There's a culture. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Curious to see what they do. Savard?
Yeah. You know, are they going to sell or not? Because
I wouldn't.
They're in the picture here.
They're right there.
I wouldn't.
Just to go back on... Zach Hyman here.
Yeah.
The talk
is... How far
is,
back do you guys want to go?
The talk is $21 million for a junior A team.
That's what they bought.
And I'm thinking...
Sorry, for a junior A team?
Well, that, yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's the kind of franchise fees now. $25 million.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not even... Vipers that's a mid-team, isn't it?
No, this is the OHL.
OHL. Yeah, OHL.
Oh, no, okay. So not junior.
Yeah.
Well, what do I call it?
You got...
Major junior.
Okay. All right. Junior A.
Listen.
Maybe that's an old 1980s
term.
BC
Ontario difference.
But like, this is kind of like a mid team. This isn't like the London Knights or Red Deer here. Like we're continuing to see big dollars out of this thing.
I have heard you would know better than me because you're way more dialed in with this stuff. But I heard that fee. And it's being litigated right now for a couple of USHL franchises. It's a company, the Ontario Hockey League. Did you see the USA Hockey's being taken to court now by
Muskegon and Youngstown?
$30 million to join the CHL.
Yeah. Yeah.
So put that in perspective. I'd buy that team for 21 if I had the change instead of buying a transfer.
Every federation controls like their country. So USA Hockey has the say on if these teams go and play in Canada and the other way around too. Like we've got American teams in the CHL,
yep.
But that's with the blessing of USA Hockey.
That's right.
That's not coming this time around.
That's right.
But how far are we from a North American like Memorial Cup?
Well, I think it's inevitable personally. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that what you create is not as many teams in the States, the USHL, like I don't think you have as many. And then the U.S. National Team Development Program, TBD in there, like I don't know if they're feeding. Because the whole feeder system has gone now to you can go major, junior, college. There might be some of those guys at the program we say, go to the program, sure, but I'll go play major, junior for a few years before I go to Michigan or whatever the case may be. So you got a super league. Not as many teams you bring it in, although it's popular coast to coast in the States right now, hockey. And then you have four, you get that whole, I'm not saying that they play against each other, maybe, all those pockets, just like the Dub just plays against and whatever. And then they all, more of this together. Wild card team for the WHL.
Fascinating stuff. Hey, awesome. Books, awesome stuff coming in today. We really appreciate it.
It's nice to see you guys.
Thanks, Books.
All right. We'll catch up again soon. Okay.
Thanks.
Jason Bukala, Pro Hockey Group, Sportsnet, NHL scout in Florida, and where else? How many
Asheville,
teams?
Nashville.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome stuff, pal. Thanks for joining us. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll get Sammy back. We'll get into some NHL news and notes. Still more to come from Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, as a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Jason Buchla.
Game time.
Okay, we'll do game time, and then I'll get into a little bit of our conversation, which I thought was quite fascinating with Books.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Busy night on the ice tonight. Looking firmly at the game in Edmonton that started a week's worth of conversation about certain people getting suspended and tears and the world's smallest violins all over the place. But the Edmonton Oilers are hosting the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Edmonton Oilers, big faves on home ice, minus 185 in that matchup, plus 155 for the Canucks on the other side of the money line.
Can I get a Connor Garland hat trick?
I do think, and we have a little clip of Connor Garland to play later, and he is just, Borny's really, really.
I love him.
Do you want a
you
Connor?
Detest him.
I could give you
a Connor Garland.
Let me see what a Connor Garland goal would pay.
But with that face, that mug of his, he should be like leading a Netflix series.
I love how little he cares for other people's opinions.
Connor Garland anytime goal tonight pays plus 325. If you'd like him to score the first goal tonight, which would be really good, 20-1. So there's some action on a Connor Garland goal tonight to really piss off the Oilers fans. What else is going on tonight? On Sportsnet later on, the Washington Capitals are in Seattle to take on the Kraken. The Washington Capitals, boys, 32-10-5, plus 51 goal differential. Best team in the league, number one team.
Kraken are rancid.
Yeah, and you get a pretty good number here on the Capitals, minus 140 on the road there, plus 120 in the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, I love that number.
And if you want to even go minus a goal and a half, plus 185 for the Washington Capitals tonight, taking on the crappy Squids.
Squids have won two in a row, though.
Uh-oh. Yep. And the last thing I'll bring up for our Calgary audience, the Buffalo Sabres continuing their Western road trip, taking on the Calgary Flames. Your Flames, big favorites on home ice, minus 140 against the Buffalo Sabres, who are plus 120 on the other side of the money line. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
I wrote my article today for the Toronto Star. You can find it on my Twitter account, my ex account, Toronto Star, and it's about Connor McDavid being suspended and how.
Damn it, I missed this.
Just the.
Me too.
The NHL just absolutely laughs at their stars when they try to garner any attention for more calls. Like, they literally don't care. They don't care.
They care.
They don't care.
I think they care.
Where have you ever seen any inkling that they care?
Well, I mean, every time we start making a fuss about a player not getting calls, they start to get calls.
Yeah. Okay, maybe a week.
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah, you'll get 10 days of effort.
But they will never, ever get NFL quarterback type
Can
of
I tell you
attention.
Why? You can't. I think it's the game's too fast. It's tough to know which one's the star player half the time. You know, like it's that this guy has it, that guy has it. It's not like Mahomes sits there with the ball and has it in the pocket. Yeah. It's like
so
it's too fast.
I don't want to talk about Mahomes.
And there is a part of the NHL that likes you going out there and figuring it out yourselves. Don't come to us.
They want every team to be the same level, super teams, communist league. Everyone's the same.
If you by chance have to like try to knock someone's teeth out, we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're fine with it.
In fact, love it.
Love it.
Love Connor McDavid getting in the news. Joe Mixon's tweeting about Connor McDavid. Yeah, that's not bad for the NHL. Yeah.
So that's it. That's the way it is. And just, I don't know, you said it the other day. Two games, three games, just move on. It's
well, and the players have more or less handled it like that. Like, no one loves the third game, but
it will never change. It will never change.
Ooh, I don't Gretzky, know about that. I don't know about
Lemieux,
that.
Sid. Somebody told me early in Sid's career that there might have been a message sent to the league that maybe Sid won't be doing this for you anymore, or maybe he won't be so available there anymore? And then they... That was it. It was over. They just don't care.
I saw a fantastic clip of Lemieux today. So it was like the Stars have always had to look after themselves. And it was, I don't know who it was, some guy in the grunt on the Washington Capitals going after him. And he knocks his helmet off, and Lemieux, just twice the guy's size, skates up behind him, hammers him, gets on top of him, and starts punching. It's like, that's kind of what makes hockey great, is that even when you're a superstar, you got to get into the muck once in a while. And like, that's, I mean, there's no other really league like that. Like in the NFL, great. If you breathe on Patrick Mahomes, he throws his arms back and you get a free 15 yards.
In the NBA, you
grab his wrist, the guy flies around. Like you got to get in the muck.
I wrote about Austin doing that in the outdoor game. And what did everybody talk about and write stories about?
Standing O.
He's arrived. He's not taking it anymore. What a message that he sent.
There was not one tweet sent that was, he shouldn't have done that. Nobody said that. Darlene was like, what? Ow. Yeah. And no one cared a lick.
Nah. Anyways.
What did we tee up before?
Books. Let's talk about the...
I'm not sure I totally agree with him on the attention needed during a warm-up. But when there isn't success, you look for reasons and...
You talk about practice?
No, warm-up.
I know.
Just to, right?
And Alan Iverson joke.
When you're in a rut or you're looking for things that are wrong,
yeah,
you're going to draw attention to a lot of things, and including warm-up. But I've been out with like 100 guys in warm-ups in my career where it's like, you want a line rush? Nah, I'll pass.
Oh, yeah. I would say the problem with creating off-ice drama is it draws attention to all facets of your organization, and people start looking for things, and you find them because there's cracks and flaws in every team. But I will say,
very passionate about the warm-up, eh?
But I mean, I know what he means. Like, even if it's just, you know, guys can't connect on a couple of passes and it's sloppy and it just, you know, it matters. It matters to some extent about focus and attention to detail. And
Bukala and my grandpa Fred had a lot in common. Every time I go to an attack game with him, he's like, we got no chance tonight. Look at this warm-up.
Yeah.
No, they don't care. But no intensity.
But I will say this. So I mentioned Pasternak, because Pasternak's warm-up is like he leans on the bench for 6 minutes and drinks water. But like, you guys are golfers. You've been on the range and slashed it all over the range and then striped it on the first tee and the opposite. You know, I don't know. I had to get the blood flowing, but there's no connection between success to me and warm-up. And
I'm at Lakeview. My tee time's 7 o'clock. I'm there 6:58.
I'm a range guy.
Oh,
man.
The range sucks. No, you don't learn anything there.
They're not learning anything.
Yeah, Sam, you're 19 years old. Kip and now me, you got to loosen the lower lumbar a little bit.
Doesn't make a difference.
Well, when you don't warm up till the 13th hole, it does.
Roll a couple putts.
I just want to strike a few so I get a little muscle memory. That's all.
Yeah. It's like, all right, that feels good. Well, the Canucks clearly weren't striking it very well today. Books was there. Let's go around the league, shall we?
Devils. Markstrom.
Markstrom got hurt. Justin Brazeau, collision, jammed his ankle into the post. I believe we're calling him week to week. Was that? He's going to miss some time.
High ankle sprain. Is that the word?
It looks ankly.
We'll take some time before we know the full extent on Markstrom. Keith said, I talked to him. He's in good spirits. He's feeling a lot better than before. So that's positive, but he's going to miss some time.
They just can't get a consistent positive flow going in Jersey. 3-4-3 in their last 10. Goalie hurt now. Boy, they could use a JT Miller type, couldn't they? By the way, JT Miller, I am convinced, is going to Carolina. I've made that decision today. I think Natchez goes the other way.
I don't think they get him.
You know,
I don't think they need to give him up. I don't know how long they want to hold out on that.
JT Miller.
Right?
Yeah, I think he goes to Carolina, though. I do. So you think Kotkaniemi, then, is the guy they end up getting?
I think that's what you try to push.
Can I tell you what I think of Kotkaniemi?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, I know.
It ain't there.
I know.
People have been searching for it.
Yeah.
And it's like a magic eye. And you go like this, and you go, I can kind of see how he's an elite
guy.
Nagish. No.
You get this guy, and I think it's a home run for for Vancouver next year at 6.5. And then even if next year you want to sign him long term and he wants to take 10.5.
If you told me today they went 1-for-1 Natchez for Miller, I'd go, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I would too.
Off you go.
Yeah. If I'm Vancouver, I'd make that trade in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Which is crazy to say, considering Natchez is not the, you know, fire and brimstone type that JT Miller is and Tockett loves and part of that. It's a totally different type of guy. Pedersen and Natchez is not. You need to poke him a little bit more, I would imagine.
But the Habs wish they had taken Brady Tkachuk instead of Kotkaniemi.
That one hurts.
Yeah, that's a franchise changer.
That is.
That's a franchise changer.
Yeah, there'd be a few teams that could go down that path.
Yeah. For sure, but that's a pretty blatant one. He was talked about before the draft as a top like a high guy, top five kind of guy, and you take cock and
it's tough when you overthink it.
You know, it's different with like a second rounder where it's like, oh, you know, people hear like, oh, they took Dermott instead of Sebastian Aho in the second round. It's like, well, it's the second.
Everyone passed on
it. Listen, but third and fourth, it's a little bit different.
Little love for the Winnipeg Jets last night, winning in overtime against the Avs and getting called out by their coach. I think we had that sound bite, but I don't know if we ever got to it.
Yeah, Arneil called them horse poo.
Yes.
They called him horse ass.
He looked like the most Canadian man of all time saying
there's
that.
There's no more
human
like
plaid.
Old 50-year-old Canadian guy thing to say than horse crap. You're like, oh, that horse crap.
Pionk's goal was like a rocket.
Do you know that he scored that exact goal against Colorado in Colorado the year before in overtime? Like, I mean, a replica kip. It was on Sports.
On the same day, at the same time?
Yeah, it's actually the multiverse glitched. It's honestly insane how identical the goals are. But that to me, I've always wanted in my whole career, I wanted to score one goal like that. Skating full tilt, cathartic, clean slapper, blow it off the post, zero times.
I only had like really one.
Yeah.
Just one.
I mean, I had a couple of, you know, one-timers here and there, but not.
They're hard.
Oh, in stride slappers. To beat a goalie clean?
Whew. You know, you don't see him, but you can in 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Cody Hodgson in the NHL has the best one I've ever seen. It's, if you can search.
Steve Yzerman.
You can know. I mean, that's
Blues.
It's not stakes-wise, but just in terms of a bar down, hit it as hard as you can, clapper. Yeah. Search Cody Hodgson slapshot bar down on YouTube.
I know the one.
It's just.
There's the Gretzky one that has a.
There's just no better
angle.
There can't be a better feeling than that. Yeah. Than hitting one that pure and having it go in like that. I'm looking at the standings here, and you're talking about the Jets and the Avs. The Jets are clearly in the driver's seat in the Central Division. But if you're looking at who's in the wild card spots here, it's the Calgary Flames and the Colorado Avalanche. Imagine in the first round they end up facing off against Colorado as like the wild card. Could you not see it going a very similar direction as the last time those two teams played?
I don't know, man. I got a good feeling about Winnipeg this year.
I don't know. I still wouldn't.
Lowry's out week to week.
Sucks.
Which makes last night's effort even better. But eventually that's going to catch up to them a little bit in the next little while.
I'd like to see them do a little something at the deadline.
Oh, they will.
Yeah?
Yeah, they will.
So we got Ottawa has David Perron coming back. Norris is out. But Perron, a nice add for them down the lineup. Should help them out.
Montreal and Detroit tonight. This one's...
That matters now.
Really matters.
That game matters. You told me that, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. I'd be shocked.
I'd say it's mattering a little bit less.
What do you mean?
Detroit got hot there for a little bit, but it's kind of coming back down to earth a bit here. Mm-hmm. They have 47 points. The second wild card spot's 52. They have 100 teams to jump. They got
-5 points.
They got a -20 goal differential. Like, I think it's a nice story. They had a nice little bump, but I think it's not over, but it's heading in that direction.
You're working tonight on Sportsnet?
I am. Just doing Hockey Central, Books, and...
Are you sticking around for the game, Vancouver and Edmonton?
They're sending me home. I'm going to go home and watch.
You look very disappointed.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
Hey, Leafs line tomorrow.
Okay.
416-413-4141. Call the Leafs line.
Yes.
First hour tomorrow. Leafs line, Leafs line, Leafs line.
Leave us a message and we'll make fun of you.
Correct.
That's our
motto.
That's
the best part of the week.
And we like when you make fun of us, too.
Our thanks to Jason Bukala for coming in studio. 11 games on tap. Find yours and then join us right back here tomorrow.
Have a great night, everybody.